Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin, and this week we delve into a criminal activity that's grown into a $500 billion per year industry. Online scamming has reached global proportions. No longer is it just a cottage industry of phony African royalty. It's now a highly organized criminal enterprise on an industrial scale. Massive online call centers staffed by workers who've often been trafficked, held against their will, forced to fleece retirees, executives, and anyone who takes the bait for everything they're worth. The UN estimates more than 200,000 people worked in the industry in Myanmar and Cambodia alone. The online scam business now rivals the illegal drug trade in size and in destruction of lives. Brian Quinn takes a closer look in this report.
In Myanmar, along the Thai border, outside Manila in the Philippines, in recent years, they've sprung up across Southeast Asia, self-contained company towns complete with living quarters, food shops, bars, and even sports fields. The industry is online scamming, and business is booming. Authorities have struggled to keep up, recently cracking down with multinational raids on scam centers inside Myanmar.
China is actively cooperating with Thailand, Myanmar, and other countries in a comprehensive approach to address both the symptoms and the root causes of the problem of cyber fraud.
Online scammers now make off with an estimated $500 billion per year. The most lucrative of their schemes is known as pig butchering. A fake social media profile contacts a potential victim, builds a relationship, often romantic, then offers a lucrative investment opportunity, with increasing contributions from the victim required to release their gains, which never existed in the first place.
We make relationship with him. When client say, I love you, then we start wash his brain, how to get money.
Fake cryptocurrency trading sites are a preferred tool, with much of the ill-gotten proceeds laundered through real crypto wallets. Those who lose their savings are not the only victims. Often the scammers themselves have been tricked into the job, lured by false promises of legitimate employment, then trafficked and held against their will in the walled-off camps, beaten or tortured if they don't produce. Thousands of foreign nationals have recently been freed from the Myanmar compounds.
I received electric shock. Every day, we were working for 18 hours without salary.
Investigators say many of the operations are run by organized crime bosses from mainland China, their proceeds stashed around the world, a system that necessitates international cooperation to fight. Meanwhile, the increasing capacity of artificial intelligence models to mimic human voices and faces means the scammers' tools are only getting more sophisticated.
Well, for more on this truly disruptive criminal enterprise, let's speak to someone who's looked at this issue from all possible perspectives. Su-Lin Wong is The Economist's Southeast Asia correspondent and the creator of an 8-part podcast investigation into the scamming industry called Scam Inc. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I want to start with one of the main takeaways that I took from the investigation in the podcast is to the extent to which the people running these scams are operating using the architecture and the language of mainstream and above board businesses, calling, for example, their victims customers in their own memos. So why do you think that is? And more importantly, perhaps, what does that tell us about the people running these scams?
So gone are the days of scams that appear in the form of emails with a lot of typos or obviously fake Nigerian prince cons. And in its place is this incredibly sophisticated, predatory, multi-billion dollar industry that might be worth more than $500 billion every year. And what's really important to understand is that these criminals operate like they would in a multinational corporation. They have, you know, chief financial officers, they have a chief executive, they have all kinds of departments. They might have an HR department, a finance department. They work with all kinds of suppliers of, you know, iPhones and the latest technology. And they really think like business people. And they use language of the business world. So when I was speaking to scammers, I was very struck by how they referred to scam victims. They would often call them customers. And that meant the low-level scammers, the people who were often trafficked into these horrific scam compounds, were referred to as customer service. And then the industry isn't called scamming in Chinese, which is the language a lot of these scammers use. They'll call it Wang Luo or the internet or the online industry. And so I think in order for us to even begin to grapple with this huge new problem, we really do have to understand these criminal syndicates as if they're operating like legitimate businesses, even though, of course, they're committing criminal acts.
Absolutely. This is just a veneer of respectability on an extremely illegal activities. I want to talk about the physical violence and the coercion that really underlies everything in that industry. And I want to focus on the scammers themselves, who often are tricked into or forced into working for these crime syndicates to try and fleece victims all around the world online. Can you give us a sense of the profiles of these people who are tricked into working in these scam centers? Where are they from? What are their educational backgrounds?
So not only have we seen the scam shift from pretty amateur cons to these really sophisticated pig butchering scams, another major shift that we've witnessed is that the victims of human trafficking who are caught up in this are quite a different profile from sort of typical trafficking victims. So what we're seeing is that inside these scam compounds, the kinds of people who are trafficked are often highly educated university graduates who might speak multiple languages, often their local language plus English, and they're looking for a white-collar job, often in a call center or in marketing. And that's the job ad that they often respond to online on Facebook. And then they fly to a third country, say Thailand, and they're picked up at the airport, and they think they're about to start at a call center job in Bangkok, but instead they're driven 8 hours to the border of Myanmar and then forced at gunpoint to cross a river, and they're put in these horrific scam compounds that are sort of industrial in size, surrounded by barbed wire, patrolled by security guards with guns, and forced at gunpoint to scam victims around the world, in France, in the rest of Europe, in America. And they face the threat of torture and even murder if they don't follow through on what the criminal bosses want. So we've really seen a very new kind of human trafficking victim profile in this industry of scamming.
What we're seeing as well in your investigation is the outsized influence that a lot of these crime syndicates and networks hold over the countries where they operate. Whether it's Myanmar, which is going through a civil war, so there are definitely gaps in governance there that can be exploited, but also a country like Cambodia, which apparently the revenue generated by illegal activities, like by scamming in that country, is worth half of the whole country's GDP. So what kind of influence can they have on these countries?
A huge, huge influence. And I think, you know, this is a really good question to delve into, because what we're seeing right now is the rise of the scam state. So, you know, in the 1990s, we might have heard of the narco state in Latin America, where drug cartels and drug gangs infiltrated the very, very highest levels of politics and business in those countries. Well, what we're now seeing is these scam syndicates infiltrating the highest levels of government, the highest levels of business in countries in Southeast Asia, like Cambodia, which, as you say, there are estimates that the scam industry there is worth perhaps half of the country's GDP, or in Laos, where estimates are that the scam industry is worth 40% of the country's GDP. And so that's going to make it incredibly difficult to crack down on because of all these vested interests. But the one other thing I would add is that this really isn't just a problem in Southeast Asia. We've now seen reports of scam compounds all over the world, from Peru to Fiji to Dubai to even the Isle of Man in between Ireland and England. And so the worry is that this is really becoming a global industry, and the criminals are going to go wherever they think they can get away with this incredibly horrific crime of scamming.
I want to end on this question, which is the role of artificial intelligence in these scams. It seems like it's really turbocharged the ability of these scammers to fool people online.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's really where the story is heading, unfortunately. And so what I would say is we've just witnessed the biggest shift in how transnational crime works in the modern era, given that these scammers are so sophisticated and really operate like multinational businesses, and they have all kinds of different smaller criminal groups in this ecosystem that work together, whether one group might focus on kidnapping people, another group might focus on just buying French SIM cards to upload on iPhones that are used in scam compounds in Southeast Asia. But the really, really concerning trend is the rise of new technologies, voice cloning software, face changing software, AI, so that actually what we're seeing is that these criminal syndicates increasingly don't have to kidnap and traffic people, because instead they can rely on AI and new kinds of technology to develop even more targeted, sophisticated scams to people all over the world.
Sulin Wong, you are the Economist Southeast Asia correspondent. You're also the brains behind that 8-part investigation, Scam Incorporated, available wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's all for this week. In the meantime, stay safe and make sure you know people in real life before you start wiring them money. Thank you for watching People and Profit here on France 24, and stay tuned.